Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas. And here with my partner and good friend Tom Moore of the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We want to welcome you to our program. This is the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. It is a live call-in talk show, and we would invite you to call in with your comments or your questions. We will give you a Bible answer. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We are broadcasting from the KATX 97.7 FM radio station in Eastland, Texas, also KNNK 100.5 in Hereford, Texas, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and also KnowTheTruthRadio.org, which is an internet radio station that is carried all over the world. KATXRadio.com is also an internet radio station that comes right out of Eastland, and so you can listen there as well. If you are on your cell phone or you're close to your cell phone and you would like to, you can tune in or get to us on the TuneIn app and go to KnowTheTruthRadio.org or KATXRadio.com, either way, and you can get us there. You can tune in there. Now, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. There are several ways to contact us. If you don't want to call us, you can go to the email, and you can go to questions, plural, questions at harrisonmoore.org, and that will show up on my computer or it will show up on Tom's computer, either way. If you go to knowthetruthradio.org, go to the chat box, and you can always communicate through the chat box with us, and we will entertain whatever you put on there. If we can't get to it during our broadcast, we will email you back or give you a phone call one way or the other. As I said, this is a live call-in talk show. If I had my druthers, I would rather you call in. Pick up the telephone. It's a toll-free telephone call anywhere in the world. You can call here, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. I would like to tell you just a little bit about our additional sponsors. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, that sponsors us, as well as the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, and also we have the 4th and Stewart Street Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas, and Ryan Stewart there is our webmaster, you might say, and he helps us with...
Ryan Smithy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ryan Smithy. Sorry about that, Ryan. I didn't mean to say that. Ryan Smithy, thank you for the correction there, Tom. We try to get everything right here. We have been talking for several weeks about the Holy Spirit and the different aspects that the Holy Spirit, in which he works through the Scripture. And I believe this is the sixth in a series of lessons that we have been giving here. And one of the reasons that Tom and I want to go and to preach about this Holy Spirit baptism or to talk to you about it and is because this is the cause of most divisions in religion since the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, since the Church of our Lord was established and started right there. The Holy Spirit has been the source of division, but that's not what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be the source of unity, isn't he, Tom?
Exactly right.
And so we have been dealing with this. We've been talking about the misconceptions that are involved with the Holy Spirit. We're talked about the inspiration of the Bible, how that the Holy Spirit was not the originator of the Word, but the revealer of the Word. We spent a couple of weeks on the Godhead, the three divine persons that have one divine nature, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the apostles. And last week we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to review just a little bit about what we talked about.
You know, David, before we get into review, yes, we might remind the people that on our webpage,
mm-hmm,
they can go back and listen to these programs archived.
Sure.
And so if you missed one of the programs on the Holy Spirit or you want to listen to it again, you can go to our webpage at www.harrisonmoore.org, and you can listen to these programs. And for several years back, we had the programs archived by topically. So help us out and go back and listen, and I think you'll be benefited by it.
Well, as he said, if you want to catch up, if you've missed some of these lessons, as I just mentioned, the lessons that we have been going through here, we invite you and encourage you to do so. We want to get back to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is not a mystery. This is not mystical. A mystery is something that is not revealed, but this has been revealed to us. And we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the total immersion of the Holy Spirit. But now the New Testament, as Tom and I talked last week, has a number of baptisms that are mentioned there. There is the baptism unto Moses that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2. And unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, it was an absolute and total immersion there. There was John's baptism. It was the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We read about that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 5, 7, and 11. And then there's the baptism of suffering, to which the Lord alluded in Matthew chapter 20, verses 21 and following. And that was dealing with the persecutions that would come upon Christ and his followers. Then there was the baptism of fire that was mentioned by John the Baptist as well in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And that will be administered in the future by the Lord on the day of judgment upon the unsaved of the world. Then there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the focus of this lesson, and we'll get to that momentarily. But there's one more baptism that the Bible, the New Testament, talks about. It is the baptism of the Great Commission. Now, you find it in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Matthew chapter 16, John chapter 3. And again, this is the baptism that the eunuch received in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 36. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about this baptism of the Great Commission as being the one baptism. It is the only one left. And so when we look at all of these baptisms combined, Tom, it is a matter of timing that is involved here. And we're going to try to get to all that by the end of this show tonight. Now, one of the big problems with Holy Spirit baptism that we talked about last week, Tom, is the fact that Holy Spirit baptism was a promise to be fulfilled. It was not a command to be obeyed. A lot of people can't understand and distinguish the difference between a promise to be fulfilled by God and a command to be obeyed. And we talked about that promise that was given to us in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and following. He prophesied that in the future, which is a matter of timing, God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And we mentioned last week that all flesh consisted of the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews, the apostles, received it in Acts chapter 2. Paul received it in Acts chapter 9. The Gentiles received it in Acts chapter 10. That was Cornelius' household. And when the Holy Spirit baptism had been received in Cornelius' household in Caesarea, then all flesh that had been intended to receive it had received this phenomenon. And so what Joel had predicted there, Tom, was a promise fulfilled. John the Baptist said it was a promise. Jesus promised his apostles prior to his return into heaven that this Holy Spirit would come upon them, the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, Tom, do you have that? Would you pull that up for me? In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, Jesus promised to his apostles, and this is very important that we get a hold of this, prior to his return into heaven, that the Holy Spirit baptism would take place. Would you read that for us, Tom?
In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, it says, "And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city until you be clothed with power from on high." You know, David, when we think about that, Jesus promised there that he was going to clothe his disciples mm-hmm. with power from on high. Well, when you go on over into the book of Acts, now remember, Luke wrote the book of Acts,
right.
So they connect these two together. And in Acts chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, "For John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence."
So the power and the Holy Spirit is the same thing here.
Yeah, they're connected. And then you see there in Acts chapter 2 where this actually occurred,
mm-hmm.
where the power, the Holy Spirit, both came at the same time. And it's interesting, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. There is the overwhelming, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At that time, they also received that power, the power that only the Holy, only the apostles were going to have as a result of Holy Spirit baptism.
So one of the great problems in this, in recognizing this Holy Spirit baptism, is understanding that it is a promise to be fulfilled by God and not a command to be obeyed by men. And
that's where we have a big problem.
We have a tremendous problem.
Because we have many people who are Pentecostal in nature, and they believe that unless you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. And they believe that you can, that the Lord's going to provide this on anyone who is accepting Jesus in that nature. But that is so far removed or opposed to the Holy Spirit baptism of the New Testament. And as we're going to notice, that this Holy Spirit baptism only came on the apostles and Cornelius' family, and Paul being included in those apostles. So you might say three, but you might say two. But in any, in either case, it happened only to the apostles and to Cornelius and his family. Although to the apostles, it happened at two different times, to those on the day of Pentecost and then later to Paul. But apostles in the house of Cornelius, and that's it.
That's it. When it got there, that was all of it. So we talked also last week about the meaning of Holy Spirit baptism, and we talked about the difference of literal and figurative language in Scripture. Joel was speaking figuratively when he said the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. And we talked about the figurative language in the New Testament. But a baptism is a burial, it is a covering up, it is an overwhelming, and that baptism of the suffering is an overwhelming of that. In the Holy Spirit baptism, there will be an overwhelming of the apostle spirit by the Holy Spirit. He would overwhelm their mouths, their minds, their pens, and they would be under his supervisory powers of recall of what God, Jesus had told them earlier. Holy Spirit baptism would be a revelation of all present truth and the truth that was to come. Now, Tom, we talked also about another very, very commonly held error. And this one, coupled with that other error that we talked about, not knowing the difference between a promise and a command, there are a lot of people that assume that being filled with the Spirit always has the exact equivalent of Holy Spirit baptism, and that is just not true.
And this is a very important issue for us to undertake, because if we don't understand the difference between being filled with the Spirit and Holy Spirit baptism, we're going to have a great deal of difficulty in understanding what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. You know, when you think about in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. But John was never a recipient of Holy Spirit baptism. He was too early for it, just as we now are too late. And you know, the thing that we've been mentioning a lot, David, here in all of this, is that timing is everything.
Sure.
John the Baptist was too early. Both his parents were filled with the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 1, verses 41 and in verse 67, but neither John or his parents were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The seven men chosen to serve tables in Acts chapter 6 were all full of the Holy Spirit, Acts 6, verse 3. They did not have Holy Spirit baptism. Stephen is mentioned as full of the Holy Spirit just prior to his murder in Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit, Acts 11, verse 24, yet he, nor the ones we just mentioned, ever received Holy Spirit baptism. You know, not only that, David, every Christian is given the directive to be filled with the Spirit, yet the Holy Spirit baptism was not for every Christian, but only for a select few. But it was not limited, or it was not unlimited among all the saints. Now, remember tonight, the number to call, if you'd like to get in on the discussion of the question, the number to call is 1-855-Q QA Bible. That's 1-855 QA Bible. We're talking tonight about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and presently we're talking about a commonly held error where people think that every time the Bible talks about being the need of or being filled with the Spirit, that they automatically assume that is Holy Spirit baptism. But we know very certainly that that cannot be the case, and we've already proven that in several situations. But Pentecostal preachers, they believe something a little bit different on that, don't they?
Well, they believe that everyone receives the Holy Spirit when they become a Christian, and they say that people do not have any business whatsoever preaching if they have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And if their claim were true, this would have silenced every preaching prophet from Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 all the way to Malachi at the end of the Old Testament, and it would eliminate most of these preachers in the New Testament. Jesus could not have even qualified to be a preacher under those Pentecostals. He was full of the Spirit. He had Spirit without measure, but he was never baptized into the Holy Spirit. He was the administrator of it. He administered it, but he was not the recipient of it. And so as we left our program last week, we left it with this question: who received it? Obviously, Jesus administered it, but who received it? Now, Tom, there were only three occurrences of Holy Spirit baptism there in the Bible. And we need to look at what the Bible has to say about this and the timing of all of this. Now, we go back to our motto on this program. You have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible had to say. Who received Holy Spirit baptism? Now, if you have a comment, if you have a question, please call and let us know what it is. We will address that comment. We will address your question. And we want you to know what the Bible has to say about Holy Spirit baptism, because everything that we know, Tom, about the Holy Spirit, and everything we know about Holy Spirit baptism, everything we know about the apostles laying their hands on others, we get from the Bible. We don't know anything about it at all.
Exactly.
And so who received Holy Spirit baptism? There were only three occurrences. Number one occurrence.
Well, that happened in Acts chapter 2 with the 12 apostles receiving Holy Spirit baptism. And it's interesting and very important for us to note there, David, that it was the 12 apostles that received Holy Spirit baptism and not the 120 that were mentioned earlier in that chapter.
Now, why do you even mention the 120?
Because there are a lot of people today who believe that the 120 on that day received Holy Spirit baptism, and that would enlarge the number of those who received Holy Spirit baptism, when the Bible, inspiration, says that on that day only the 12 received it. See, they're trying to broaden what the Bible has to say about that, and in doing so, they're going beyond what the Bible has.
Right. Now, this Holy Spirit baptism that we're talking about was only for the apostles and that one family in of Gentiles to prove
that they were accepted.
That they were acceptable to the Jews, that they were acceptable to God, proved to the Jews that they were acceptable to God for salvation and baptism. Now, when these apostles received Holy Spirit baptism, they received some powers that no one else would have, apostolic powers. And so it's important that we know who received this. And so you mentioned in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15 that there were another 120 that a lot of people talk about there. But in this passage of Scripture, we are going to clarify what we see again.
Exactly. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 26, it closes with the addition of Matthias to the apostleship, making the number 12 again, you know, because Judas hung himself, and so they came up with, by casting lots and God being involved in this, come up with Matthias as the next apostle.
So at the end of chapter 1 in the book of Acts, we see that Matthias was added to the 11,
and we might
to make
also,
it 12
yeah,
again.
Exactly. And remember, in this, chapters and verses in our Bibles were added by man.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time they have it right, But we also have to realize that what we have here in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 is a continuing story that's taking place here.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find here in chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, "And they gave lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Now, what's important about that, David, is what we find in the very next verse, chapter 2 and verse 1, where it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place." The question we have then, David, is, who is the they?
Well, the antecedent of that is the 12 apostles up there in chapter 1, verse 26.
And why is that important?
Well, because that 120 that a lot of people want to claim that received this Holy Spirit baptism.
That's right. So we're going to find here that the ones who received Holy Spirit baptism are the they.
Right.
The they points back to the now 12 apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is the 12 apostles who are going to be receiving this Holy Spirit baptism here in Acts chapter 2. And so you notice then, David, in Acts chapter 2, in verse 14 it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, now after they had received what?
The Holy Spirit baptism.
Standing up with the 11, so that's Peter plus the other 11 apostles, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ear unto my words. Peter stood up with the 11, not the 119, and he began to preach." And isn't it interesting also, David, that we talked about earlier Joel's promise,
mm-hmm,
about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter and the 11 apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other languages. And then he says there in verse 16, "But this is that which had been spoken to the prophet Joel." All these things are taking place now. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. They began to speak. And you know, in Acts 2 and verse 37, after Peter had preached this gospel message, the question was asked to Peter and the apostles, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Well, they were addressing whom? Not the 120, but the 12 apostles who,
right,
had received the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So the 12 apostles received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were baptized into the Holy Spirit. And they, as it says there in verse number 4, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
They were immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually took control of their mind and their tongues. They were speaking languages that they had not studied. They were speaking languages that they had not mastered. And it was the Holy Spirit speaking through them. That is the immersion. That is the baptism of that Holy Spirit.
And isn't it significant, David, that when they began to speak in other tongues, verse 4, it says in verse 6 of that same chapter, every man heard them speaking in their own
language.
And so they were speaking in languages that they had not learned. Now, David, isn't it interesting, and you were telling me about this the other day, about the Baptist Convention were in a big hoopla,
mm-hmm,
over this very issue of tongue speaking.
Yes. Yeah, and what the problem was, the Southern Baptist Convention met, and they decided that they didn't want any more of their Baptist preachers praying in tongues. Now, I'll put that in quotation, praying in tongues, that no one could understand. And what these Baptist preachers were claiming were, and by the way, they were furious when the Southern Baptist Convention said that they could no longer do this with the sanction of the Southern Baptist Convention, but these men wanted to pray in tongues anyway. Now, the ridiculousness of this is where, if it is that it is the Holy Spirit speaking through them, the third person of the Godhead, and they are praying to the first person of the Godhead, which is the object of our prayer, then the third person of the Godhead is praying to the first person of the Godhead and using those guys, as they claim, as the speaker of tongues because of the Holy Spirit baptism that they had received. But this is absolute ridiculousness because no one received Holy Spirit baptism except in these three occurrences that we're going to talk about tonight. So the first occurrence was the Holy Spirit baptism of the 12 on the day of Pentecost. And if you'll look there in Acts chapter 2, and we encourage you to take your Bibles and read, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the 12, the first occurrence that we read about here. And if you are listening and you are having questions about what we're talking about, if we're not explaining it well enough, we're explaining it right now as well as we think we can. But if you would like to make a comment or a question that you might have, we encourage you to call in. The number is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And that is the first occurrence. Now, the second occurrence, Tom, is the occurrence by implication of that of Paul the Apostle. And why is it implied that he received the Holy Spirit baptism? Because it doesn't talk about it as it does with the 12 in our Bible. So by implication, why do we say that Paul the Apostle received the Holy Spirit baptism?
Well, we have passage after passage, David, of examples where Paul said that he laid hands on, or he wanted to go so he could lay hands on, or he had laid hands on various ones that they might receive the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that Paul could have done that is as an apostle. And we've already looked about in other, you know, other lessons about only the apostles could pass on the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what made this baptism of the Holy Spirit different from what Cornelius received. The apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and were then therefore able to pass on the miraculous measure of the Spirit, not Holy Spirit baptism, but could pass on the miraculous measure to other people. Paul was able to do this, and so we have to infer, or by implication, that Paul must have also received baptism, Holy Spirit.
And we look at it again, baptism is an immersion. Baptism is a covering up. Baptism is a overwhelming. And Paul had the same powers, the exact equivalent of the same powers of the other 12 who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is explained to us there in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4.
You know, when you look back at Luke chapter 24, verse 49, it says, "And behold, I send forth the promise."
Now, this is Jesus speaking to the apostles.
Exactly. "Of my Father unto you." Now, he promised that back in John chapter 16, 13,
right.
14, and those three chapters in there. "Of my Father, but tarry ye in the city until ye be," now here's a key word, "clothed with power from on high."
The King James Version said endued with power.
So what we have there is an engulfing of something, an overwhelming. Well, what could that be other than the baptism of the Holy Spirit that took place there in Acts chapter 2.
Listen to the promise as it is given from Jesus to these apostles. In John chapter 16 and verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." In verse 13, he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And so here we have the promise stated, We are told in Luke chapter 24, go into Jerusalem and wait there until you receive the promise of my Father and you be endued with power from on high. That's just exactly what happened when they waited there in Jerusalem for this to happen.
Paul on the chat box says, you said the apostles received the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Peter said in Acts 2:38, you should repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Explain the difference. Well, first of all, if we said the apostles received the gift of the Holy Spirit, we missaid. What we said here is the Holy Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit baptism was done by Jesus.
Right.
It was not a gift of the Spirit or from the Spirit, but a gift that is from Jesus. And really, it's a promise that was given unto the apostles that they might have the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. Now, in regard to the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 and verse 38, you know, there's lots of different beliefs in that regard with regard to the gift of the Holy Spirit. But and we're going to talk about that in a later date in more detail, but that is not the same as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're being baptized here for the remission of sins. It is an actual burying under water to receive remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that more in detail later, but the apostles were overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit that was done so by Jesus, as we see in the passage you read a moment ago in John chapter 16, and also here in Luke chapter 24.
And there, I would like to just add this one thing to what you said there, Tom. The differences between the power to work miracles that the apostles had, I would like to refer to that as apostolic powers versus the power that they transmitted to others through the laying on of their hands, which could not be done by the ones they laid their hands on. So the apostles had a greater measure of power from the Holy Spirit than did those on whom they laid their hands. It was in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 18 that Simon the sorcerer saw with his own eyes that by the laying on of the apostles' hands, it gave them miraculous powers.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw this. And Peter and John could do something as apostles that Philip the evangelist in Acts chapter 8 could not do. Philip the evangelist was a recipient of power that he received in Acts chapter 6 by the imposition of the hands of the apostles there. So the apostolic powers that they received from Holy Spirit baptism were belonged exclusively to the apostles, and the apostles only. They were the only ones that were able to transmit this miraculous working power to others. Very, very good question, and I'm glad that you picked up on that. If we said it wrongly, we apologize, and I hope that explanation will suffice. If not, write us back or give us a phone call.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the third occurrence of Holy Spirit baptism and some other important issues with regard to Holy Spirit baptism as we draw our study to a conclusion. Tonight, you are listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. My good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight. We encourage you to call in. This is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Remember that tonight we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is very, very important because there are so many people who have misconceptions. Not only misconceptions, David, but flat-out false doctrine that's taught concerning Holy Spirit baptism. And we talked about earlier, last week, and mentioned in review earlier this evening, that the Holy Spirit baptism was a promise and not a command. We've also talked about a commonly held error, and that is that Holy Spirit baptism is equal to being filled with the Spirit, but we showed that that was not the case. A lot of it was because those who, as time frame involved, and also Holy Spirit baptism had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
For the apostles, it was to show that they were authorized by God to be their proclaimers and to pass on the gift. In the case with Cornelius, it was to show that Gentiles were accepted in the Lord's church. We talked about who administered Holy Spirit baptism, who did not. Jesus was the one who administered Holy Spirit baptism. It only occurred in three situations, with the 12 apostles on the day of Pentecost. By implication, the Apostle Peter, Paul, and thirdly, well, what was the third example of Holy Spirit baptism, David?
Well, it is one that we got to right before the break, and the third and the final list of Holy Spirit baptism recipients in your Bible was Cornelius and his family. Now, Cornelius was a Gentile. And the Jews at this particular time were still under the impression that it was wrong to go to the Gentiles for anything. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 32, Cornelius is explaining the vision that he had. And he says that in this vision he was told, "Send therefore to Joppa and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged by the house of one Simon the Tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you." Immediately, therefore, I send unto you, and you have done well that you are come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded you of God. And so this Holy Spirit fell upon this Gentile family as Peter preached to them, Tom.
Exactly. When we understand this idea of preaching, we need to understand that this Holy Spirit that fell on the apostle or on the house of Cornelius, it's interesting. It says that it was just like what happened on the apostle,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we think about this whole issue, it fell on his Gentile family while Peter preached to them. It might be good for us, David, to kind of spend some time in Acts chapter 10 and
mm-hmm.
chapter 11 as we begin to understand exactly the significance and the difference. There
right.
is a significant of similarity, but there's also an even more significant difference in these two Holy Spirit baptisms.
Right.
You know, and for example, the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentile family while Peter preached to them. You'll notice there in Acts 10 and verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them that heard the word. Now, we might just make a side point there, David. We're talking about, you know, today people try to separate salvation and Holy Spirit and salvation away from the Word of God, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
These people did not even receive Holy Spirit baptism until they had first heard the Word of God.
Right.
And so that's a big, important thing there. But again, when we think about this, you saw in chapter 11, in verse 4, it says, but Peter began and expounded the matter unto them in order, saying. So now Peter, here in chapter 11, is going to begin to rehearse the matter from the beginning, and he is going to expound it. He is going to detail it by order to the Jerusalem critics who thought that he had done wrong by going to the Gentiles.
Right.
And in doing this, he is going to begin to show them exactly why Cornelius and his family received baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, he was pretty skeptical about the whole situation, even though he received a vision and said to go. He took six or seven Jews with him to be witnesses as to what was going to happen there. And so he had these Jewish witnesses, and by the time we get to chapter 11, he's explaining it to the critics there in Jerusalem. And in verse number 15 of Acts chapter 11, in verse 15, we read this, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now, it's important that we understand what he's talking about. As on us at the beginning. He had to go all the way back to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 to recall the last time that this occurrence took place.
Isn't that interesting
mm-hmm.
that if that was an occurrence that happened to everyone who called on the name of Jesus or who were baptized, that they received the baptismal measure, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if it happened often, why would Peter have to say, like as us in the beginning?
Hmm.
This shows that it was something very significant and unique, and evidently, from that wording, it happened no other time than in the beginning
right.
when the apostles received Holy
Spirit. It was a very uncommon occurrence. And what we need to understand here is that this Holy Spirit did not fall on them to save them because they were to hear the word from Peter's mouth whereby they were to be saved, as we read there in verse number 14, who shall tell you words whereby you and all your house shall be saved, Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. And, Tom, he did not fall on these individuals to produce faith because Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and again, hearing by the Word of God. And so, just to show you how common the Holy Spirit baptism was, won't you read to us chapter 11 of the book of Acts, verses 16 and 17. This shows you how uncommon it was.
Here in Acts chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, it says, And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If then God gave unto them the like gift as he did unto us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? You know, that's very significant there, David, that it shows just how common this was.
Uncommon.
Or how uncommon it was, yeah, that it happened only one other time, and by implication to the Apostle Paul. But only one other time, this was something that was promised. Now, as we stick right there for a moment, David, let's just back up one more time and reemphasize something.
Okay.
When we talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 38.
Mm-hmm. That chapter 2.
Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. I get my numbers all messed up tonight. That gift that they received by being baptized is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
No, it's not.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a gift of the Spirit. It is something that is applied by Jesus. It was applied only in two situations, to the apostles and to Cornelius. And if we said that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a gift of the Holy Spirit, we want to reemphasize that we misspoke and accidentally said that. That is not the case, because it is a gift, actually, from Jesus that was given to the apostles and then also to Cornelius. And so we just want to reemphasize that in case people misunderstood what we said on that regard.
Okay, well, when we look here at Acts chapter 11 in verse number 16 and 17, it says, he says, I remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered how that Jesus told us that John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized by the Holy Spirit, or with the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter didn't remember something there that came upon each and every convert that was baptized into Jesus for the remission of his sins, as was the case in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 that you mentioned just a moment ago. He had to go all the way back to Pentecost. That's in Acts chapter 2, and from this point in our Bible, that would be 8 years prior to this event, to remember the last occurrence that he was associated with. This is the Holy Spirit recalling power at work in Peter the Apostle. God gave the Gentiles the like gift as he did to the apostles.
You know, if this occurred at some other time, I think the Holy Spirit would have helped Peter to remember.
Yes, there's no doubt about it.
That's the key here. Peter and Paul here, they're talking by inspiration, and they recall the only other time that this occurred, and that's really significant to what we have here. And God gave the Gentiles a like gift as he did the apostles, but there is one significant difference there, David, and what is that?
Well, he did not confer upon them the powers of the apostles. You see, that was reserved for the 12 and Paul. And so that brings the next question. Why was the Holy Spirit baptism given? Why was it given to the apostles? Why was it given to the Gentiles? Now, before we even get there, I want to say this one thing. The Pentecostal position is that everyone who is a Christian receives Holy Spirit baptism. Are you not a Christian at all? But that is not what we're finding out here in the study of this Holy Spirit baptism.
Exactly. First of all, we understand that Holy Spirit baptism was given to the apostles to enable them to do their work as apostles. You know, they received apostolic powers when the Spirit came upon them. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, Jesus, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God come with power. Now, notice there's that time frame again, David.
Mm-hmm.
We got the kingdom of God coming. That is the church. It was established in Acts chapter 2. And when do we see also the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the overwhelming of the Holy Spirit? Also in Acts chapter 2. And so there we see a connection between the kingdom, Holy Spirit baptism,
and the apostles.
And the apostles and the power.
Right.
All those things right there. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, again, we had that same thing emphasized. They were to wait right there until they received this power. And then these powers in particular were given in Acts chapter 2 to the apostles, whereby they, as apostles, could then lay hands on others to propagate the gospel of Christ.
Right.
But the... Did you have something else?
No, go ahead.
But
go
then
ahead.
Also, with regard to the Gentiles, they received it for a different purpose than that, didn't they?
Right. The Jews did not think that they were worthy subjects, the Gentiles. They did not believe that they were worthy subjects to being baptized and to receive salvation. It's very significant that we understand this, because the Holy Spirit baptism did not save them. It did not. We're going to go back to that in just a moment. You see, the Gentile household received Holy Spirit baptism to prove one thing to the Jews. God sent it to prove to the Jews that the Gentiles were indeed worthy subjects for salvation and for also baptism.
Why do you think, David, that something so significant as Holy Spirit baptism on Cornelius' family was so important to this whole issue? Was it not that the Jews for many, many centuries,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of years, considered the Gentiles as unsuitable? They were foreigners. They didn't like them. They didn't want them to be a part of themselves. There had to be something very significant to point out to the Jewish people that, yes, indeed, God accepts the Gentiles.
Right.
And that's exactly what Holy Spirit baptism was for in the case of Cornelius and his family.
Well, now, in order to be saved, we understand that we have to go through God's plan of salvation. And baptism in by the Great Commission baptism, baptism in water, the baptism of the Great Commission, is one of the things in which we have to go through. Now, if we go back over here to Acts chapter 10, and we look in verse number 44, it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them which heard the word." That's in the house of Cornelius in Caesarea. "And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues, and they magnified God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the authority of Jesus, and that is for the remission of sins." The baptism of the Holy Spirit did not forgive their sins, Tom.
Exactly.
And this is a very significant thing that we need to realize. It was for a purpose, to prove to the Jews that the Gentiles were worthy subjects of baptism and worthy subjects of salvation. Now, very significant to note this, too. These powers of the apostles were not conferred upon this Gentile household.
Exactly.
That was reserved only for the apostles. It was for the work of the apostles. They did not receive that. They could speak in tongues, they could prophesy, but they couldn't do anything else other than that.
Yeah, and in the previous lesson, we showed that only the apostles could lay hands
mm-hmm.
and pass on the gift.
Right.
Well, David, we have about 3 minutes left tonight, 3.5 minutes. Let's ask the question as we conclude, is Holy Spirit baptism for today?
No, absolutely not. It ended there with Cornelius in Cornelius' household. That was the finale right there, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
It
exactly
did
right.
not happen after that.
You know, and we know that because Ephesians 4 and verse 5 says there is now one baptism.
And that was 23 years later.
Exactly. Now, we know that there's going to be one baptism in the future, the baptism of fire,
right.
that we do not want to have a part in.
Right.
So we see Moses' baptism was no more. John's baptism had ended.
This is all a matter of time.
Exactly. Christ's baptism of suffering was over. The baptism of fire is yet in the future, and that leaves what?
The water baptism of the Great Commission.
Exactly. Holy Spirit baptism was very limited. 13 apostles and one family, that was it.
That's it.
You know, when we think about salvation today, David, and Holy Spirit baptism and all the false doctrines out there, we know that with regard to salvation, the Bible says we first have to hear the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Mm-hmm. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It takes faith to be saved, but we understand, David, and the Bible tells us it's much more than just plain faith, isn't
sure.
it?
Sure. We've got to repent. We've got to change our ways from the unrighteous ways of the world, the unrighteous thinking of worldly religion, to the righteous ways of God, including the righteous way to worship Him. And it's all given to us in the Bible. And so we must repent. And then we've got to confess the sweet name of Jesus before men. And then we must undergo that water baptism of the Great Commission that Jesus gave right before He ascended into heaven. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it is preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. That's the only way you're going to have your sins remitted.
Isn't it significant, David, that the same Jesus who promised to His apostles that they were going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
so they could come to remember what He said,
mm-hmm.
that one Jesus Christ who gave the apostles that power, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The apostles were brought to remembrance things just like that.
Right.
If Jesus says we have to believe and repent, be baptized to be saved, then who are we to question God? And yet there's so many people, well, you know, water baptism is not essential. All you got to do is say the sinner's prayer. But again, we might mention, David, I'll give anybody $200. If they can show me in the Bible where the sinner's prayer is written. You know, people have been saying that for years, but nobody has ever been able to show you in the Bible where it's at. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," in Acts 2, verse 47. When they did that, they were added to the Lord's church. David, we have about 30 seconds left. End us up.
Okay. Well, all I want to say is this. It is a damnable doctrine to preach and to teach that we are commanded to pray for Holy Spirit baptism to be received so that He would work directly on the heart of the recipient without the means of the revealed Word separate and severed from the Word that has been once for all delivered. Because everything that we know about the Holy Spirit, everything that we know about Holy Spirit baptism, we're going to read in this Bible. And we encourage you listeners out there, to read your Bibles. Don't take anything that anybody says for granted. Read your Bibles and see what the Lord has to say. We want to thank you for listening to the program tonight. We want to encourage you to read your Bible and tune in next week. You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. See you next week.